Hello, I am Anderson Cowan, and I have got a movie to make. And this is I Have Got a Movie to Make, week 116 of 116 weeks. I shouldn't say that. I should say this is episode 116 of 116 episodes. What kind of a monster promises 116 weeks of content, and then after 115, radio silence? Who would do that? I tell you who would do that. I did do that, and I apologize to anyone who was waiting around. I know a number of you were, because I was getting emails, I was even getting phone calls from some of you who I know, saying, what's up? What's the deal? I tell you what the deal is. I do not love ties, and that's essentially what this thing ended up being. At least that's what it is at the moment. So way back June 14th, 2019, I began this feed, and it all came out of a very real conversation. You know those real conversations you have with friends, family, loved ones, every now and again, and they're real. I mean, they have real implications, they have real stakes, and the wife and I, my lovely wife, Jillian, we had, at the time, a 2.5-year-old, and we... she actually came to me, and she said, we decided we were driving through Topanga Canyon, if you must know. It was one of those conversations I'll never forget. And we were thinking about our son and his future and our future as well. And she essentially said, hey, I think that, by the time he's 5, if things aren't really going our way with your career and with your filmmaking and production and whatnot, and with what she was doing to a lesser extent, we should pull up our roots, our Southern California roots. We were born and raised here, both of us. Our family's here. All of our friends are here. We've spent our entire lives here. But we both liked the idea of moving to a... perhaps a sleepy little burg somewhere, maybe, a state in the United States, or maybe even out of the country. Like we had options, and we wanted to explore those options. And she essentially said, hey, by the time he's 5, I think that's fair. And I agreed with her. I said, absolutely. A couple massive things happened. So I decided, hey, I love the clicking, the clock, the countdown, ticking clock, as they say, like in narratives. And I rose to the challenge and was excited and optimistic about it, thinking that, hey, it's a kind of a win-win. Either I can really crush it and get this next one going and really get some momentum, or I love the idea of sleeping in a little picturesque, idealistic town, which I've never experienced, and, knowing all your neighbors and maybe having snow in the winter. I loved that idea, and having Atticus, grow up in a very different environment than what Jillian and I grew up in. However, a couple of really big things happened that neither one of us, no one could see coming. And one was more personal. It had to do with her actual job, which is not personal. It's business, I guess. But neither one of us saw her new gig coming, her new job coming, which Jillian is very, very smart. And she's very, very capable. And it doesn't surprise me at all that the county scooped her up. She's a social worker. She's very, very good at what she does. And since I started this feed, she has been given a fairly prominent position working for LA County. And they gave her a pension, and we all have really good benefits. And the caveat is that she has to live in LA County. So that kind of went out the window as far as moving out of LA County or out of the state or out of the country. Also, the pandemic, which no one saw coming, obviously. And by no means am I using the pandemic as an excuse or rationalization. However, I don't know if regret's the right word, but I flirted with the idea. I allowed myself to selfishly think, okay, what can I do here? Because I know that the bold are rewarded, and I would have loved to have taken advantage of the empty streets and the ensuing lack of content that was sure to come because of everything being shut down. And I know some people who did that, and I would have loved to have been in a position where I could have done that. And like I said, I selfishly flirted with the idea. I had a $10,000 idea that a feature film that I could have probably shot for $10,000 and gotten out there and probably had some success. Who knows? But at the same time, I had and I'm not making excuses, and I know this sounds like excuses, but this is the real deal. This is like what I was living, what I lived. We had to pull our then 3-year-old out of preschool, and he was home with both of us. And we didn't have the money to have like somebody take care of him full time. Also, you know, with the pandemic, you don't want somebody, you know, we were in our little bubble, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. That's why it's not regret, because I don't regret my decision in spending all that time with Atticus. I would not give it up for the world. There's nothing I would have rather had done. And I think we were very fortunate that the pandemic hit at the age that it did for him. I know it affected a lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of people lost loved ones. And we were really fortunate that Jillian had to start working from home, and Atticus was, you know, home all the time. And while that is trying and frustrating at times, obviously, it was great. And I would not give that up. And I think it's going to pay off and continues to pay off with just my relationship with him. And I got very fortunate. It was a luxury that not many parents have, which is getting to be around their developing, you know, toddler and then 3-year-old, 4-year-old for as long as I did. He's back in school now. Things, as we know, are moving back to normal. But those are the two things that kind of changed this, the nature of this feed. And at the end of all of this, it's a tie. So I've given it a lot of thought, and I'm very, very hard on myself. I'm the first to admit that. And it stems from childhood. And, you know, a lot of us have this, and my internal monologue is pretty abusive to me. And I was definitely doing that with this, and just dreading this 116th episode, because it doesn't have a payoff that I envisioned, which was either A, thanks guys for listening. Thanks everybody. I gave it a good college try, but it's just not happening, and we're off to Georgia or something. I don't know if we go to Georgia because of certain laws and whatnot, but you know what I mean. Or I would have been, you know, in production or pre-production or wrapping up or going to a festival with a finished feature film, with a movie for vengeance being done. Actually, when I began this whole thing, it was Battle at Skunk Skull that I was actually targeting as the next one. But I learned quite a few things, one of which making raising funds for a pedophile horror film is probably not the greatest idea. Down the road, yes, I still plan on making that Battle at Skunk Skull, but it's more expensive than a movie for vengeance, and I think it would be a little bit harder to raise the funds for it. But back to the dread of doing this last episode, and let me give you an analogy, because it came to me, and it is this. I love hockey. So I will use hockey, but you could also talk about soccer or football for those of you abroad. Back in the day when I started watching hockey, things were a little different, and they used to have ties very often. And sometimes you'd sit down and watch a game, and they drop the puck and the score is 0-0. That's how games begin. And at the end of the game, it would be 0-0. And then they play 5 minutes of overtime and it would be 0-0. And then it would be over. And you would think, why did I just spend 3 hours watching two teams not do anything? Obviously, there's a lot of defense and, you know, a lot of effort and energy and trying and all that stuff. But still, the result is the exact same as when I first sat down to watch this game. And or the match on the pitch, if we're talking about football. And that's not fair. I'm not being fair to myself, because I look back at June 14th, 2019, when I started this feed. I had just sold my first feature film to Terror Films, Global Digital Releasing. I talked about all of that and what I learned from the selling of a feature film to it and getting it distributed. And I was pretty wide-eyed and doe-eyed at the time. And I had learned a whole lot to that point about making films and raising money and doing this and doing that. However, looking back on it, my God, was I naive compared to where I'm at now. And I hope that I've imparted some of my lessons and things that I've come across and learned in this feed over the 116 weeks. But I am not to a place where I feel it is I would be getting the most bang from my learning buck by moving forward at this very moment. So I continue to learn about the production side, producing side of things. And it's really easy to call yourself a producer. And I did it. I produced all my shorts. I produced groupers. I was the main producer because I was the one that, you know, behind raising the money through you guys in large part and the crowdfunding. And then I, you know, there's all sorts of different hats that a producer wears as far as making things happen. But the most important in this business, most important producer is the one that can find the funds. And there is a lot to that, as you would imagine. And that's what I've been learning over the last, I guess, just 6 months or so is where I've really dove in deep. And I am training myself to be an actual producer, a producer that goes out and finances a film, raises the money, puts the pieces together. And I've learned that the script, while it is important, is not nearly as important as most people think it is, myself included. And when I say myself, I mean myself from yesteryear. Myself from not too long before I started doing groupers. I used to think that, hey, if you write a script that is good enough for your friends and family and they like it, and more importantly, perhaps you like it, because a lot of creators will understand when I say this. Like, I hate everything, most everything that I create. I'm very hard on, when I watch anything that I've made, groupers included, all I see are the flaws. Whenever I write something, I'm always picking it apart. And while it's agonizing, it also leads to better work because you're constantly pushing yourself. So I understand the necessity of it. But if you sit down and you write a script, and I've done so a number of times, and you actually like it, that'll foster a whole lot of optimism. And a lot of us, I think most people who want to get into film, think that that is the most important part of filmmaking. And I can tell you, as far as a finished project, a good script is the most important part. I think casting and script are two of the most important parts. And then if you get a able-bodied director, they can put a great script with a great cast. It's hard to screw that up if you have an able-bodied director. That said, what's more important than all of that is the financing, is getting the money to begin with. And in saying that, what we see are a lot of independent movies that aren't that great because the script is not that great, because the script is not nearly as important as you might think in actually raising the funds. There's so many different things that go into raising the funds, and a lot of it has to do with being connected, with having the chutzpah, with having the smarts, with having the BS factor to be able to just, you know, win over a room and give people confidence in the project, even if it's not good. When you're talking about studio pictures, that's a completely different thing. You know, sometimes the script is phenomenal and it's demanded to be so, and they have the resources to make sure that it's a great script, and they give it the time and the appropriate people to make sure that the script is great, because they know that the audience that they're trying to sell it to is going to demand that. But more often is the case that they know that the audience will not demand a great script, that it's more about the God, I sound jaded, but it's more about the cast and whatnot. So I'm not talking about studio pictures. I'm talking about independent movies. And that's why so many independent movies just don't quite have it. They're lacking because it's the people that are it's about the raising of the money. That is the most important thing. And from what I've learned, and it's been quite a bit, when you're raising funds from financiers, investors, the script has very little to do with the entire process. Like, oftentimes people will give you money without even reading the script. They just hear the elevator pitch, which it is what it is. They just want to know that you're a good business person and that you have your eye on the prize, which is box office return. So I understand that. And I have learned so much. And my idea was that I was going to impart what I learned weekly to you guys. But once I started really going down the rabbit hole of producing in the sense of raising funds, it's dry as can be. And I just could not open this mic up and talk about the ins and the outs of tax incentives on a regular basis and ways that you had to approach investors. Now, that being said, I will impart what I know now and what I will know by the time, I return with not, I've got a movie to make, but a new feed that will be much closer to the actual goal, because once I begin that feed, things will be in motion. I will not begin that feed until money is either already in hand or a week or two away from actually pitching and getting that up and running. So the truth of the matter is the last 6 months has been pretty dry on this end, and I didn't want to subject you guys to it. And I try. Yeah. So it's, I still feel like this is a bit of a push because I'm not moving out of state and I don't have the next movie financed. So, but here's one little tidbit of real news that did happen just this week. My partner and I, my friend, a fellow filmmaker who brought me on to his documentary project just about a year ago now, we pitched a streamer, one of the streaming platforms that you've all heard of, at least you've heard of by name, you've heard of them. And we pitched them earlier this week, and the pitch went pretty well. What we're pitching is what right now we have an hour-long documentary. It's a bit of a fluff piece. It's still very good, but it's a bit of a fluff piece. And we want to take that and turn that into a 6-to-8-part mini doc series. And we just did our first pitch this week. There will be more pitches coming up unless we strike a deal with these guys, which we may. I don't know. My partner seems to think the pitch went really well. I think it went pretty well. But, you know, that's definitely on the forefront and could be a real possibility. We have a plan B for that one as well, which is to extend it into a 90-to-2-hour feature length documentary and, you know, do the festival circuit and whatnot. So it's great to have that in my life. And then here's the plan. I am going to continue to hit that financing heavyweight and wail on the mental pecs of learning all of that stuff, self-teaching all of that stuff, reading and then when I get to the place where I am confident enough in my ability and my know-how and my knowledge, put it into action. And that's when I will crack this mic back open for whatever this next phase will be called. So what happens in this business is a very tough business, as you'd imagine. So many people want to be in this business, and it takes a particular type of person to make it in this business. And there are a lot of shysters out there. And there's the only thing that's more numerous than the shysters is the amount of no's that you hear and the amount of the sad stories and the stories of things just not happening, and how every corner I turn, every podcast I listen to, every interview I listen to, for the most part, it's just people talking about how it's nearly impossible to make an independent feature film these days and to make money on it. And it's I don't believe that. And I have seen some glimmers of hope. And I think if you're smart about it, yeah, you can avoid those pitfalls, which is what I'm striving to do. But yeah, this business beats you up, and you really got to have a thick skin. You got to have that get up off the mat and get back at it attitude, because around every corner is some kind of story of woe. I can tell you, and it gets to you. So thank you very much for following along. Deepest apologies, sincere apologies. If you listen to this and you feel like this is lacking any kind of real conclusion, I get it. I do. This is not where I thought we'd end up, but all that being said, I look very much forward to talking to all of you in the near future. It won't be too long, but I promise you this, I'm not going to come back and turn this thing on until I have real news, real, motion, real action going on. And it's all about action. And, you know, it's one of the oldest, first things you learn in screenwriting is if you can show a character doing something rather than have them talk about it, show, don't tell. And I feel like I've been telling quite a bit, especially in the last 6 months on this thing. But I'd also like to just thank all of you who are listening to this, and to those of you who have. There's just so much negativity out there that goes with this business, that goes with social media stuff. You know, I'm a loudmouth. I'm on other shows, how I make a living. And, you know, obviously I put myself out there and have an opinions. I get a lot of very negative feedback, and I still have a much thinner skin than I'd like to admit or live in. It's tough. I'm a very sensitive little dude, really. And well, that works, I think, when I'm writing and I'm trying to get inside characters' heads. The more sensitive you are, I think the easier it is to access other people and empathize with them. But just walking through life is painful. And you guys in your support and your kind emails and comments and rooting for me, it really does warm the cockles. Believing in me, I guess. It warms these otherwise cold cockles, or at least that's how I try and make them. Seem in the real world to protect myself. I get that. And you guys listening, and it's just, I thank you. I thank you very much. And I look forward to actually giving some real life, exciting, positive updates and knowledge in the very near future. So I'm going to go back at it. And until then, ta-ta.